George, another point the editorial made that I thought was interesting is this question of exposure to combined therapy, the time of exposure of chemo and trastuzumab. And is there any way we can look at the available data or even laboratory models and say it'd be better to have the patient exposed for a longer period? In this case, how long a time are they actually exposed total? Is it 12 weeks?
Before I answer that, I would just state that I think first we have to come to wrestle with the question about how important is concurrent exposure with cytotoxic therapy at all as opposed to serially with chemotherapy. My own bias is that it probably is important to give concurrent, but the difference between 8 weeks as in this regimen and let's say 12 weeks as in B31 to me would not be a strong foundation to make an argument against this kind of an approach.
What are your thoughts, George?
Well, the real question here is, how does trastuzumab work? Is it working as a growth factor receptor inhibitor, in which case its relationship to chemotherapy might be totally irrelevant, and that's certainly the HERA investigators were working on that assumption. Is it working as something that, in essence, is a magnifier of chemotherapy-induced apoptosis, which is certainly what Edith Perez's data, which we don't yet have follow-up on and we're all waiting for, certainly suggested when she initially presented that. My suspicion is that in the long run, we're going to see that trastuzumab works better than chemotherapy and it works without chemotherapy. My suspicion is that it may not particularly matter which chemotherapy we combine it with, and that the 1990s view of the world of dose and schedule of different chemotherapeutics may be relatively irrelevant in the adjuvant trastuzumab era. That's a bias and a guess and a
hunch. So do you think the results of 9831, which suggest that arm C is better than arm B, is chronology and not biology? In other words, it just got delayed longer and therefore...
No, I think it's evidence that trastuzumab in that setting was acting as something where we were magnifying chemotherapy-induced apoptosis. I mean, that's my suspicion.
Can I just ask, I mean, that was presented in 2005. It's now 2008. I mean, are there any data? Why aren't we seeing more results in terms of this question of combined versus sequential out of that study?
I think you will in the next 6 months.
Really?
I don't know that, but I think we will.
Yeah, it's important to point out that that data was clearly presented prematurely. And that is to say that it did not cross O'Brien Fleming boundaries when it was presented.
One of the questions actually from Dr. Schwartz is the HERA approach. You know, people talk about, for example, using TC followed by trastuzumab in certain patients. Is that a reasonable non-protocol option?
Well, so I think the BCRG approach, TC plus trastuzumab,
TCH.
Right.
Different TC.
Right.
I think Neil's referring to docetaxel
cyclophosphamide. Well, either way, the HERA approach of chemo followed by trastuzumab, is there any role
for that? Well, so what I was going to say is that to avoid the anthracycline, I think it's reasonable at times. And still, for a patient who has a worse prognosis, I still stick with the breast cancer intergroup AC followed by T with trastuzumab. But in selected patients who are node negative, have a more favorable prognosis, but I want to give them chemotherapy, I used a BCRG TC plus trastuzumab. I think it's reasonable to give the preceding chemotherapy and follow it by trastuzumab as HERA did, but I don't see any reason to do that. I don't see a reason to give the chemotherapy all as one package. I guess if you said, well, I really like TAC, docetaxel, doxorubicin, cyclophosphamide, and I don't want to give the trastuzumab with TAC, then you could give all the TAC first and then follow it by trastuzumab. But to me, that's sticking with a regimen that probably is no better than the chemotherapy regimens we already give, and you don't need to do it that way. So,
Paul?
Neil, perhaps you're impatient for data that takes time to accumulate. But the large ALTO trial, which is now ongoing, is a global trial, and it's allowing doctors a choice of giving anti-HER2 therapy sequentially with chemotherapy in the HERA style or concurrent in the North American style. And I think it's dropping about 50-50 in its distribution. So I think you're going to see a really nice data set from a very large trial of about 9,000 patients exploring this question of concurrent versus sequential, both with Herceptin as well as with lapatinib, the tyrosine kinase inhibitor. In addition, if I can just be self-serving for a minute, we're running a trial called TEACH, which is a HER2-positive adjuvant trial, which gives lapatinib remotely from chemotherapy in an MA17-style manner. And over the space of time, because we find in the literature that HER2 positivity continues to drive annual hazard of recurrence far out from diagnosis. So we will see clean, placebo-controlled anti-HER2 therapy effects on HER2-positive breast cancer, completely remote from chemotherapy, although all the patients have had initial chemotherapy on the trial.